Well, hello, everyone. Thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso, and we are glad you're here. With so many voices out there, news, social media, even comedians and friends, it's tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. But we want to help you sort through the noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way of Jesus. Let's go ahead and get into it. Jeff, we're recording this.
Yes,
Joe. December 1st.
Yes.
2025. I had to remember. It's not 26 yet. It's about to be 26.
It's cloudy outside. It's cold.
But I'm just saying, for context, this won't be released for a couple of days. That's okay. That's on purpose. But the Buckeyes beat Michigan, man.
They killed it was so Michigan.
Fun.
Oh, I enjoyed every moment of that, except for like the first, say, 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, sure.
So when Michigan got that quick field goal and then we threw an interception, I was like, this cannot be happening. Yeah. But then the boys settled down and put a thumping on them like they should have.
Yeah. In hindsight, it might have been great to even see that, like, the quarterback could actually respond to adversity and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, at that moment, you're like, no, please, not again. But
it was rough.
They really dominated.
I don't want to call people out, but Josh Hance is a real jerk. And he loves
Jason Verslice,
both those guys. I don't trust either one of them. And I feel like it was good for – sometimes the Lord corrects us. And I feel like both of those men got a correction. They're Michigan fans, and they were walking away from Jesus. I hope this changes the path of their life.
My favorite insult that was hurled at me a couple of times, at least by one of those two, if not by both of them this weekend, was, why does it always take more than one person to spell Ohio? How dumb could your fans be?
So Josh Hance and I have been friends for forever. And so we're to tease each other bad. Remember when we went on like that 7-year streak, we just beat Michigan all the time?
Eight. Not who's counting.
Yeah.
And we only lost the one before that because Luke Fickell was the interim coach. And before that, I think we won 9 in a row.
Yeah.
But so who's counting?
We've been catching up. So they still have won more than we
have. They have. The early stint like 100 years ago was a little crazy.
So when we broke that streak, Josh Hance was on a cruise in the Caribbean, and he called me from the ship.
No, he didn't.
I was like, what's this costing you per minute? He's like, I don't care. We killed you.
That's amazing.
So he called me. He's like, all right, I'll take it like a man. Because last few years, I'm like, I have to eat it because I definitely have – I have the teasing coming. Turnabout is fair play for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, as followers of Jesus, we know that one of the first things you should learn is to root for Ohio State.
That's right. That's what the Lord does. That's what we do at Grace Church.
Well, one of the things we want to talk about today is something that I think we're tempted to kind of put like at the end of the line of teaching someone how to follow Jesus and the clarity behind it and other things, but honestly, in terms of how much Jesus talked about it and in terms of how much it begins to tie our heart instantly to what Jesus is doing in us, it probably should be one of the first topics that we're talking about with followers of Christ.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so really the question is like, Jeff, why is something like giving, why is something, you know, and maybe it's tithing, maybe it's giving, maybe it's offering, maybe it's generosity. There's different language for all of that. But why is that so important? And why would Jesus talk about it so much? And why would it be important for us to help our listeners understand?
Because it's tied directly to our heart, which is why our listeners just tensed up when they found out we were talking about
they
giving.
Sure did.
And your temptation is to like fast forward or like, we'll skip this mixed message. And if you have that temptation or if you tensed up, then this is a conversation that you need to be in because it is a part of what it means to be a church family and a part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And if you said, well, it's the end of the year, Jeff must want giving to go up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a family, if we can't talk about this part of our discipleship and then talk about the pragmatic piece of like we have like bills to pay, so to say, and ministries to do, then it's like wildly immature. If you brought it into a biological family context, if you have a husband and wife who cannot talk about finances, you have a very broken relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you have children and parents that enable or hoard from each other, you have a very broken relationship. And if you have a family that is irresponsible or callous with their money, you have a very broken relationship. And that's a huge part of why Jesus talks about it all the time, because he says specifically that our heart and our treasure are always in the same place. That is why we tend to be defensive about how we use our treasure spiritually.
Yeah, right.
And we can even at times be accusatory of like, well, the church just wants money and all those kind of things. And I'm like, no, we're talking about what Jesus said, and we're talking about what Jesus says to do with the money, his money that we're managing. So it's interesting to me that that finances has become a defensive thing, a private thing. We treat the church like a charity instead of a family or a kingdom, and that's why it's a tense thing to talk about, even though it needs to be talked about, and even though like today I'm like, well, we need to have a bit of a family conversation about it. It's no big deal, but that's why it feels awkward or tense, or why you would even ask me the question. Sure. If we were talking about reading the Bible or prayer or fasting.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have asked me that question.
Nope,
you'd be like, what's the Bible say about it? How do we get our act together?
Yep.
But there's something about finances, and it's because it's tied directly to our heart.
Yeah, Jesus even specifically uses the language, you can't worship both God and money.
Yeah.
He doesn't give other examples. He doesn't go through a laundry list of other examples. Like, I know that money is uniquely tied to your decision-making, your value setting, and all of those different things. Now, there are folks out there that might have the idea that, like, giving to the church is just a charity. You just hinted at that. Why is that different? Like, why can't we just say, well, I give to a bunch of good causes. The church is one of them.
Well, that's a very big question, and it starts with our definition of money and so and ownership. So the first thing that a Christian has to realize is that my money is not mine, it's God's. And I am, so to say, investing it on his behalf. So go back to a family scenario. Heidi and I don't have separate money. We don't have Heidi money and Jeff money. The money belongs to the family. Where it comes from, who created it or generated it is like a different question. And that should focus on gratitude and hard work, all those kind of things. But when Heidi and I generate money, that is something that Heidi and I would think of as joint owners of, right? So what that means is that I don't have the freedom to spend our money without consulting Heidi, and Heidi doesn't have the freedom to spend money without consulting me. That would cause a wound or a fight in our relationship. And it also means that that money is prioritized. So when the money comes in, the first thing that Heidi and I do with our money is we care for our children. It's prioritized. If I take the money and go gambling with it and the kids go hungry,
sure.
The second thing we do, probably the biggest financial thing we do, is we put a roof over their head, right? Mm-hmm. So like if I go and buy a boat and we lose the house, right, all these things are just dysfunctional things. So when I start with the concept the money's not mine, then suddenly that means that there's the definition and the investment of it is not my decision to make. That's a decision that's put in front of me. And if I don't make that decision, then it breaks that trust. So back that up another level, the Bible would say that all things belong to God and that we are entrusted with those things. And God looks and says, I want you to prioritize how you spend those things. Number one, I want you to bring what the Old Testament calls a first fruit. So the first fruit, there actually isn't a number, but if you were looking for a principle of a number, it's 10%. That's the Old Testament principle that we would bring forward to the New Testament. The New Testament guideline is generosity.
Yeah.
But you bring that first fruit, and in the Old Testament, they brought that first fruit to the Lord's house. It's how they caused the temple to work. It's how the temple did the ministry. It's how the priest ate. It's how they would care for the poor. It's how they would do the sacraments. It's the adult understanding that making things like a building and programs and even spiritual things function takes resources. The second layer of that then would be like the poor. So I would care for the poor. Paul calls it equality. Mm-hmm. If you eat, let other people eat. And then you get into things like caring for your family, your children, your family. Like the Bible would say, if a man doesn't work and provide for his family, it's worse than being an unbeliever. Mm. The Bible would say, if someone in your family, if you're not meeting their needs, then you're sinning. So like caring for grandparents or cousins or people in need, et cetera. So I don't have the freedom to say, I made a bunch of money, I want a new truck. Now, the Bible doesn't say that the truck is the sin, you know, right. Because everybody, like I just, actually, ironically, I just got a new truck because my old truck finally gave up the ghost. So we have to replace things once in a while. Mm-hmm. It's no big deal. But the question is, did I invest God's money, so to say, in the order he would want it to be invested? Mm-hmm. And then where does the truck and the vacation and the Chipotle fall in that order? And what we're always tempted to do, when you think of the money as yours, you buy all the things you want first. Mm-hmm. And when you think of the money as God's, you do all the things that he would have you do first. And it becomes an ownership issue.
That's really helpful. I think it's probably not something many of our listeners have thought through before, because I do think it's so easy for us to default to money is just, well, I earned it, and it's mine to spend, and I can do what I want with it, and so why wouldn't I be nice and donate to a charity here or there, as opposed to the total flip that God tries to help us understand about who's the provider in the first place. You hinted at that too, like, where does the money come from? I mean, I work hard. That's where it comes from, right?
No, because there's so much of our, so I've talked about this over the years. There's this concept of I'm a self-made man, which is I work hard, and mm-hmm. and therefore that's where the money comes from. And I'm like, but you're not. God decided that you were going to be born when you were born. Mm-hmm. God decided that you would be born in North America. God decided that you would be born with a body and a mind that's fully intact. Mm-hmm. We didn't make any of those decisions. Now, you could argue, like, well, I was faithful and I made the most of my opportunities. I'm like, that's phenomenal. But we actually can't pretend that we made all those opportunities ourselves.
Sure.
We have to look and say, well, God had a providence and he had a sovereignty in this whole thing. And what that does is it takes me back to how am I able to do this in the first place? Mm-hmm. And it's not you and you alone, right? So the money that you earn, you do work for it, and you do work hard, but it is ultimately God's provision, because there's lots of people who work harder than you who do that to survive.
Right.
There's no thought of wealth or retirement or the next house. It's like, will the crops grow this season or not, right? So I have to understand, the things that make me the most remarkably blessed are things I didn't control. Mm-hmm. So the reason why you are wealthy is not because you have a college degree, you have a master's degree,
yep.
and that you work hard. The main reason you're wealthy is because you were born in North America.
Right.
Now, I don't resent it, and I don't feel guilty. Mm-mm. But I want to recognize I didn't have anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. The biggest wealth generator in my life was my geography.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so I have to understand that. The reason my parents could help me with college, the reason I could get a loan, the reason why I was able to buy a house, the reason I can move up in my income and not down or stay stagnant, is because I was born with a brain that works, a body that works, on a piece of geography where I can pursue those things. So I'm not saying feel guilty, no. And I'm not saying aren't you lucky to be an American. I am saying, like, I didn't have anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. Now, that's something that was entrusted to me. Mm-hmm. So if God allowed me to be born in this century, and God allowed me to have a mind that worked, and God allowed me to have a body that worked, and God allowed me to be born in North America, and I take advantage of all those things, shouldn't I honor the one who laid down the foundation for me in the first place?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And that can all be received as like a criticism. You see that all the time. I'm like, sure. I'm deeply, deeply grateful. But it also means, like, just like someone, I have a friend who was raised in the inner city. The community came together, saw his athletic ability and his intelligence, and helped to get him a scholarship to Yale. Mm. Went to Yale, played basketball, got a great education, and is doing phenomenal in life. Loves the Lord, wonderful guy. What he would say to me is, I owe a debt back to that community. I have a responsibility to that community. And I'm kind of saying that. I'm like, wait a minute. He's acknowledging that his community was a part of lifting him up.
Yeah.
He took the ACT. He ran the basketball drills. But his community was a part of lifting him up. What happens in our relationship with God is we forget that part. Mm-hmm. And we're like, look at my stuff. And when we do that, money and wealth takes a horribly unhealthy place in our lives. And so that's why God, just like, think of money this way. Like, I like to ask the question, like, why do we pray? Mm. We don't pray for us. We don't pray for God. We pray for us, right? So God, we're not like, by the way, grandma has a bunion, and God's not like, what? I didn't know that. Like,
right.
He knows all things. So I'm praying for me. Mm-hmm. So why do I give? Why do I give to the church or live generously with other people? I'm not doing that because God's broke. I'm doing that to remind me that God lifted me up, mm-hmm. and that the abundance of what I have is ultimately a reflection of the abundance of what he gave me to start with.
Yeah, that's so helpful. It's good for me to hear again, too. Now, Jeff, you've laid out this foundation, the heartbeat behind it, the posture that we can have before it, this whole first fruits idea. You've laid out that this connects us to the heart of God. You've laid out this connects us to his work, and that this is really, when we really realize what's going on, it's a heart of gratitude, and then it becomes a unique responsibility to respond to this provision and gift that God has given us. What does that mean for us right now, specifically at Grace Church, as we have this podcast?
Yeah, so if you're asking the question, is Jeff doing this podcast at the end of the year because Grace Church needs to increase his giving? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. I'm having an adult conversation with adults and saying we need to dial in on our giving a little bit in the immediate future, but also in the long term.
Yep.
And so what that means is this. Grace is growing because God is answering our prayers. So we're up about 11% year over date. 11% growth at the Bath campus is literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. We're growing because our children's ministry is exploding. Young families are coming, kids. Our youth ministry is exploding. Mm-hmm. Our young adult ministry is exploding. Our sports ministry is exploding. If you guys have been here on the weekends, especially on Sunday mornings at Gent, you know that you're sitting on the floor or you're packed in. Last March, we started doing live services at Montrose at 11:30. That has almost doubled since we went there. So God is giving us more and more and more of a spiritual return. And what that means is there's a 10 or 15% greater financial pressure on us. And so we as a family need to respond to that. It's actually not so much a failure to give as it is like a need that corresponds with growth. Mm-hmm. And it's a correspondence to the incredible things that the Lord is doing. So what that means for us at Grace is I need you guys to engage your responsiveness to God and make Grace Church a part of that responsiveness. Mm-hmm. And what we need you to do more than any other kind of giving, one-time gifts are wonderful and helpful, and many people give them, but it's this consistent, repetitive giving that makes such a big, big difference, where you go into GraceLink, you set up your account, and you allow that $100, $200, $300 a month, your tithe, mm-hmm. whatever your tithe might be, allow it to withdraw automatically, like indefinitely. And first of all, I think that action helps you to be faithful and disciplined in tithing mm-hmm. or giving. Secondly, it lets us know how to function. That I like to say that the most powerful thing that Grace Church does for evangelism and discipleship is we turn the lights back on Monday morning. And it is the everyday ministries of grace that are powerfully used by God. Right now, we're not in a vision campaign. Right now, we're not in a building program. I actually think we might be looking at some of those things in about a year and a half mm-hmm. or so from now. There's some things that we're percolating on and some opportunities from planting campuses and improving the ones we have already. So that's probably in our future. But it's this ongoing giving. And what happens, I think, is when you go to a church like Grace that tries to do things with excellence, that tries to make like the church run smoothly, we don't do this perfectly, but we try, you can assume mm-hmm. that there's a big bank account sitting somewhere or there's an endowment. And can I tell you guys, none of that exists at Grace. I actually won't really allow it to exist. Mm-hmm. So we have a savings account, so if the furnace blows up, we can fix things, you know. Sure. So we're responsible about all those kind of things. But it is not packed full of money because I'm under the deep conviction that the reason you give your money is so we go and try to reach people together. Mm-hmm. So I don't think money is to be hoarded. I think it's to be spent.
Yeah.
And spent wisely. In fact, I just our financial people just gave me a stat the other day. They are saying we have to finish some math, but they're saying 89 to 90% of everything given goes directly into ministry. So mm-hmm. that's I'm just going to go with 90. 90 cents of every dollar goes directly into people's lives. Mm-hmm. Our overhead at Grace. So that, like this is like the financial people and the building maintenance is only 10% of our budgets. Mm-hmm. We really do take the dollars that are given. I'll give you a for instance, Feed My Starving Children is 94% of every dollar. Mm-hmm. So it is high. If you look at United Way or Red Cross, it can be below 50%. So it's a high, we're a lean, mean machine around here. Nobody's getting rich, and I have never gotten my private jet. So the money goes into people's lives. So what happens is when there's more lives and more people, more money is needed to facilitate those things. We have we're going to, over Christmas time, we're going to take Christmas offerings just to raise money for scholarship funds. Mm-hmm. We give out over 1,200 scholarships a year, mm-hmm. help kids go to camp, go to Momentum. And it's not a bunch of people getting multiple scholarships. That's how many people there are.
Right.
And it's not the vast majority of people getting a scholarship. That's mm-hmm. the scope of Grace. Sometimes we forget that the Bath campus is as big as it is because we break it up mm-hmm. in so many ways, which is what we want. Mm-hmm. We want to know you and love you and interact with you, that we forget it. So what I need us to guard against is this assumption that there's so many people that are paying all the bills. I'm like, no, there's so many people that there's a greater need. I also say we're from Akron, so we don't have a sugar daddy. we're not in Houston where there's an oil baron. If right. you are one, let me know immediately. I'll give you my cell phone number. But we're just normal folks. Like that's just kind of the way we are here, which means that all of us have to get our shoulder under it. Mm-hmm. And one of my biggest fears, when I talk about things like finances, the other one is I talk about volunteering. Mm-hmm. The first thing that goes through somebody's mind is, yeah, somebody should do that.
Yeah.
And what I need you guys to hear as you're listening to this is I am talking about you and your household. And being in that repetitive, consistent giving, it makes a massive difference. That is how we send the missionaries and do the inner city work and do the youth and the children. And it's also how we like pay the electric bill and seal the parking lot and serve the 3,000 cups of coffee that we serve every weekend.
At least,
which,
yeah.
Which is the low number.
Right. And even to your point earlier, and now we're serving 300 to 400 more cups every week.
Yeah.
Because we're growing.
Everything's up like that. So I need us to pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. And this is what's unique about Grace. We said earlier, Joe, like we're not a charity. I'm not asking you to make a charitable donation. Your finances are an act of worship from your God. And I'm not saying that God would never direct you to give money other places.
In fact, we encourage it.
I encourage it. Yeah, we want you to be generous. There are many good causes, many Christ-centered causes. I'm not asking you to rob from Peter to pay Paul. What I'm asking you to do is to put Grace Church high on that list of priorities. If this is the place that serves you, the people that love you, the disciple your kids, watch them in the nursery, invest in your life, et cetera, then I just need you to know that financial need is there as well. And it's not there because of mismanagement or bad budgeting. It's literally there because of growth, yeah. And which is a wonderful, wonderful problem. So if you have been out of the game for a bit, I really need you to like go pay attention. Go back and look at your get your laptop out and look at your finances real quick and look and say, how much money did I give to Grace Church this year? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we lose sight of it, and we're a little surprised how little it is. And so just double click. I'm asking you, if you've been given the same amount forever, to raise that amount. Like the needs have gone up, and they've gone up for all the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And then I'm asking you sincerely, if you are not in this game, the way that Grace works is there's no sugar daddy. It's everybody getting their shoulder under it to the degree that we're able, and that actually adds up, and mm-hmm. it's what makes us function the way that we function. So that's what I'm asking. I want to remind you what giving is, mm-hmm. and where it comes from, what it's about. We're different than a charity, and I'm pro-charity. I mm-hmm. give to charities all the time, but the church is different. It's more like a family, and then I want you to think of this as like a kitchen table conversation. Mm-hmm. Like we have to pay attention to this and give some energy behind it.
Yeah. Jeff, I'd love for us to give, as we start to wrap up here, to give maybe 90 seconds of attention to our listeners that don't go to our church.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to say or encourage them as they're listening to this kind of family conversation?
Yeah. I would say to you guys that everything that Jesus teaches about giving absolutely applies to you. And I would encourage you, if you go to a different church, do the same thing for them. Be consistent and repetitive. Mm-hmm. It's really, really important to do that. Be generous. When you come across someone who's in genuine need or someone that you can maybe just bless in a loving, fun way, the Lord says be generous with your money. And then all that ownership is absolutely that God owns everything. You're the steward of it. Remember that. And if you don't have a church, you want to invest in Grace, that's great. But especially if you have a local church, that's where I would really want you to invest and do that the same. I don't know what their systems are, but in that same repetitive, consistent way, that's a wonderful way to partner with the whole of your church family.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank our listeners for kind of getting this far into our episode. As you mentioned, sometimes we want to skip past these conversations. We don't want to have the family conversations, but God's obviously stirring actually around the world. He's allowing us to be a part of it. There's incredible spiritual and physical, numerical growth happening here as a part of our church, and he's calling all of us to get behind it in a really fun, unique, and personal way. So thanks, Jeff, for sharing your heart and helping us get through this.
Yep.
Well, if you've got questions you'd like us to tackle, you can head on over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send them our way. We'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you, helping you understand where God's at, helping understand how you can live for Him. So don't be a stranger. Reach out. Let us know. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace this weekend, whether in person or whether you're checking us out online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all of the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.